This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
If someone were to call on you today to name the most difficult thing to keep straight in your life, what would come to your mind? Now, I'm going to talk to you today about my mind, what's on my mind, the most difficult thing for me to keep straight. But I want you to think about yourself. And I have an idea that you would have a long list of things that's hard to keep straight. But we're going to talk about that today. We want to learn how to keep certain things straight in our lives. And the one thing that I have in mind, if we get it right, almost everything else about our lives will be okay. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want to thank you for tuning in today. I hope that you'll stay tuned as we talk about the most difficult thing to keep straight. Please do stay tuned. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And I emphasize the fact that it is free. We're not going to ask for your credit card. We don't want any of your money. We have others that have paid for these so that you can have it free. Now, we want to pause long enough that you can learn more about the Bible course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
You know, Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." There are a lot of things in life that are difficult to keep straight. I recognize that. If you were to ask me from the standpoint of physical things, I would say the top of my desk is a little hard to keep straight because I get it straightened up and then I get in there working on some sermon or some lesson or some series of things that I'm studying, and I pull down books and I pull down this reference and then I have to start all over again straightening it up again. So it doesn't take long. But I have an idea of somebody out there saying, "Well, you know, Brother Lambert, the most difficult thing for me to keep straight is my checkbook. I just don't seem to be able to keep my checkbook balanced. I can't keep it right. I can't keep it straight." Well, one man said that he had deposited a lot of money in the bank, but his wife seemed to draw it out. He said, and she said, you're not overdrawn. You're just, honey, you're just under deposited. Well, it might be hard for you to keep your checkbook straight. Somebody says, "Well, it's hard for me to keep my house straight. I get it all straightened up, and then the kids come and they run through the house, and you can't tell that I've done a thing." If you ever said that, as some woman shaking her head right now, you know you said that. Well, I think you can be a little fastidious about that. You kind of overdo it. You know, one old man said that he got up one night to go to the refrigerator to get a drink of water, and when he came back to go back to bed, his wife already had the bed made up. Ladies, you can just kind of overdo this, making up the bed, you know. And somebody says, "Well, it's my children. Brother Lambert, you don't understand my children. I just can't keep them straight." I remember being in a revival up in Virginia, over by Clinch Mountain, and I was visiting the home of a lady there, and she had a little red-headed boy, and he kept running everywhere. He was jumping up and down on the sofa. He was jumping up and down on the table in the middle of the room. He literally tried to grab a hold of the chandelier hanging in the middle of the room and a swing on it. And she kept saying, "Harm, don't do this," and "Harm, don't do that." She said, "Brother Lambert, you ever heard the expression, getting out of harm's way? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, that's harm. That's harm. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know what you think, but I'm going to tell you about myself. The most difficult thing for me to keep straight is my attitude. To keep my attitude Christian. You see, we live in a pretty tough world, don't we? And sometimes there are things that happen that we see things that are going on and it works on our attitude. But someone has said your attitude is more important than your altitude, because it's your attitude that determines your aptitude. Attitude is important. It's important to everything that we do in life. Attitude is important so far as your health is concerned. Suppose someone were to start telling you how sick you look. If several people tell you, you don't look well, you look like you're sick. I have an idea that if you were at work and they were telling you that, it wouldn't be long until you'd be asking the boss if you could go home, because I don't feel well. You see, they worked on your attitude. Attitude is important in athletics. Most coaches have learned that it's important not just to have young men and women prepare for their sporting events physically, but they have to work on their attitude and have a winning attitude and the right attitude and a good attitude, a team attitude of teamwork. See, it's important in everything we do in life. It's important out here even in the business world. You know, your employer wants you to come to work with a good attitude. And your attitude is so vital, so important. I went in a place of business recently, and the young man that was taking my money at the cash register never said, may I help you? I handed him the ticket. He never said, may I help you? He's looking down at his telephone, and he was watching a football game on his telephone. I paid him. He kept looking at his telephone, and he never said, thank you or goodbye. Attitude. That young man will not last long at a job like that. You see, attitude toward your customers is so important. Attitude is important in living the Christian life. And I want us to think about some areas in our religious life, in our spiritual side of life, that are so important. And we need to have the right attitude toward the Bible. You said, well, I have a Bible, Brother Lambert. I think I have a pretty good attitude toward the Bible. Well, that's a wonderful thing. And the Bible is God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 tell us. So the Bible is God's Word. But I suggest to you that sometimes we don't have the right attitude toward the Bible. Sometimes we study the Bible and our mind is completely closed. We study it with a biased idea, with a prejudiced view toward the Bible. We don't go to the Bible to find out what we are to believe. Some people go to the Bible to try to prove what they believe. But the Bible, I don't go to the Bible to find sermons. I go to the Bible not to prop up the sermons that I've written, but to go to the Bible to make the sermons that I write, that I preach. You see, we need to have the right attitude. There are three attitudes about the Bible, though God's Word, I think, illustrated in the 17th chapter of Acts. Now, first of all, there was the attitude of the Thessalonians, those in Thessalonica, and they wanted to know, is the Bible old? Is God's Word old? They were concerned about the traditions and all of that of men. And then there were the people in Athens, and they wanted to know about something new. There are preachers today that are always trying to come up with something new. And I don't know why they do that. It's not because that we've worn out the old yet. But what we need to do is to have the attitude of the people in Berea. And the people of Berea wanted to know this. Is it true? Is what you're telling me from the Bible, is it true? These were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, they were daily students of the Word of God. Are you a daily student of the Bible? Do you read the Bible on a daily basis? Is it your companion? If all the books that have ever been written, if you were to pick out one that you could take with you to a deserted island, what book would you take? You say, well, I don't know because there's so many books that I like. I'd take the Bible. Let me tell you the reason that we need to have the right attitude toward the Bible. Number one, the Bible tells us of our origin. God made us. In Psalms 100, we read, it is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. Psalms 95 and 6 says, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. God is the one who made us. We didn't make ourselves. So it tells us about our origin, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And He formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that first man became a living soul, Genesis 2, verse 7. And He made man male and female. He didn't say, well, you decide what gender you would like to be in life. God determined that. Some are male, some are female. God determined that. Man doesn't determine that. The government doesn't determine that. God did in the very beginning of time. And that's what you read in your Bible. So the Bible tells us of our origin. It tells us the reason that we are in this world. It tells us our purpose for being here. Look at Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter and verse 13. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. And then third, the Bible tells us where we're going when this life is over. Jesus pictured before us two roads, two ways in life. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, we need to have the right attitude toward the Bible because it tells us everything that we need to know about ourselves. Do you study the Bible? In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to study yourselves to be approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. But not only do we need to have the right attitude toward the Bible, that is, we love the Bible. We're willing to study the Bible. We have the right attitude about God and toward God. Do you really love God? Jesus said the greatest commandment there is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Do you really love God? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind. Is that the way you love Him? Somebody says, well, now, Brother Lambert, as one man told me recently, you're getting on my toes. Well, what does it mean to love God? See, you'll never have the right attitude until you have the right attitude about God. If your attitude is that God doesn't exist, if your attitude is that you don't know, if your attitude is it doesn't make any difference what I believe about God, if your attitude is I really don't care, well then we need to have what one man called an attitude adjustment. And some need to have an attitude adjustment to begin to have the right attitude about the one who created them. God is the one who made you. You did not make yourself. You say, I'm a self-made man. Oh, no, you're not. I'm a self-made woman. Oh, no, you're not. God is the one who created us and God is the one to whom we owe our allegiance, our love, our devotion, to love Him with all of our heart. Well, what does that mean to love God? Does that mean that you have a sticker on the bumper of your car that says, I love God and I love Jesus. Is that what that means? Well, I'm not opposed to bumper stickers. I find them rather humorous sometimes. And, you know, because of what they say. But you could have all the bumper, you could have bumper stickers all over your car and you still not love the Lord. Just because I say, you say, well, I tell people I love the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. But what does that really mean to love the Lord? What does it really mean to love the Lord? You see, we're getting down to attitude. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible is telling us what it means to love the Lord. I used to kind of stumble over that word grievous. So I began to try to figure out what it really meant, and here's what I learned. If something is grievous to you, that means it's kind of like a burden for you to bear. When I really love God, what God tells me to do is not like some distasteful burden that I have to bear. When I really love God and God tells me to do certain things or not to do certain things, I don't rebel against Him because I know He knows what's best for me, and I do it because I desire to do it. I obey Him because I want to do it. That's what it really means to love God. Now, if you have no desire to love God, if you have no desire even to believe in God, you have no desire to know more about God, it's going to be hard for you to have the right attitude about God, isn't it? But let me tell you how important it is to have a good attitude about God. In the Hebrew letter, we're told in the 10th chapter of that letter, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, we need to love God with all of our hearts. We need to have the right attitude about God. People now are railing against God. They are mocking God. They're claiming there is no God. But you know, God will have the last laugh, will He not? That's what Psalms chapter 2 tells us. There were those that were mocking God and mocking the Lord's anointed one. Saying, let's cast their bands asunder, let's cast their cords from us. But the Bible says the Lord shall have them in derision. And He will laugh at them. At the fact that they turned their backs upon Him. Friends, you cannot mock God and get away with it. God is not mocked, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. We need to have the right attitude about God. Now, here's how you know you have the right attitude about God. How do you treat the things that belong to God? How do you treat the things that belong to God? Now, there are things that I have in my possession that are precious to me. I have some Bibles that I think are very special to me. The reason is because they belong to someone that I loved. There's my mother's Bible. I have a copy of one of her Bibles. I have Bibles that belong to some aunts, uncles, and the like. Those books are precious to me because I associate them with someone. I associate them with God. I associate them with the Bible and with believing in God. You see, I associate those things with people that I had a great deal of admiration and love for. How do you feel about God? I can tell you how you feel about God by the way that you feel about His Son Jesus. You see, God was willing to give the royal gem of heaven to save a lost world, a ruined world. I know how God feels about you, but how do you feel about God? Here's how God feels about you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. You see, we need to have a love for God. And we show that love for God by the attitude we have toward the Lord Jesus Christ because I associate Jesus with God. How do you feel about the church? I associate the church with God. It was purchased with the blood of the Son of God, Acts 20 and verse 28. There are many people that are cold toward the church now, that have turned their backs upon it. There are those that misrepresent it. There are those that would have nothing to do with it. When you read statistics such as that only 38% of the American people are found in any place of worship on the Lord's Day, someone needs to work on their attitude, don't you think? You see, worshiping God is a matter of your attitude. It's a matter of your hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Matthew 5:6. It's a matter of your having a desire to bow down before the God of heaven and praise Him and worship Him with all of your heart and with all of your being. We need to have the right attitude. We need to have the right attitude toward people that don't like us. You say, well, everybody loves me. Oh, no, everybody doesn't love you. Everybody has someone somewhere that really may not appreciate them like they should. Now, wouldn't it be nice if everybody loved us? I'd like to think everybody loves Brother Lambert, but I know everybody doesn't love Brother Lambert. Maybe some of you watching right now don't really love Brother Lambert. But we need to have a love for everybody. One of the greatest things that we need to do is to overcome the hate in our world with love. And we need to have the right attitude toward people that don't like us. You know what Jesus said about that in Matthew chapter 5? Jesus said, you need to love your enemies. You need to bless those that persecute you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. You see, Jesus said you need to have a better attitude toward your enemies than your enemies have toward you. Hebrews 13 and 1 says, let brotherly love continue. How do people know you're a Christian anyway? Now, I'm talking to somebody that's a member of the Church of Christ now, and I want to ask, how do they know you're a member of the Church of Christ? You say, well, I go down there where we don't have, instruments of music in our worship. Or I go down to that building where we have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Every Lord's Day we have the Lord's Supper. Or I go down to that building where they teach that you have to be baptized to be saved. I didn't ask you how you worship. I didn't ask what you did to be saved. I asked you how people know you did that. How do people know you're a Christian? Well, Jesus said in John the 13th chapter in verses 34 and 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And what our world needs right now is a lot more love and a whole lot less hate. We need to love one another just like Jesus loved us. We need to have the right attitude toward people that don't really like us. People that would kill us if they could. We need to love them anyway. And I'll be honest with you, it's not easy to love people that don't like you. I remember getting a letter one time from someone who heard me preaching on the radio, and it was the ugliest letter I've ever received. I've gotten some pretty bad letters, but I think it's the ugliest one I've ever received in my life. So I wrote the man a letter back and told him that I loved him and I appreciated the fact that he had listened to me on the radio and that it was because of men like him that we had the program. And then I got another letter from him. And if I thought that one was bad, you should have read the last one. And I thought, well, I answered him with a very kind letter. Very kind letter. And the next letter I got from him, he wanted the free Bible correspondence course that I offered. But let me tell you about a letter I got from a young woman in the church who had just lost a child that was full term. It would have been her first. She had had several miscarriages. And I talked to her and I told her, I said, God's going to bless your womb and one day you're going to have a child. I'll tell you, that woman not only had a child, she had children and she has grandchildren now. But she wrote me the sweetest letter telling me how much she loved me and how much she appreciated me trying to encourage her. Now, she's a whole lot better to ease her to love than she is a fellow that told me how bad I was. But I've got to love the other fellow too if I go to heaven. Hate will keep you from going to heaven. Did you know that? The Bible says in 1 John the 3rd chapter and verse 15, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know this, that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You can't hate people. It'll cause you to lose your souls. We've got to have a better attitude. We've got to have the right attitude toward people that don't like us. Well, what attitude do you have about the cross of Jesus? Well, I know what some people thought about it in Paul's day. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not by wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. So see, the preaching of the cross was to some people just foolish. Times haven't changed, have they? Because see, preaching Jesus and Him crucified is nonsense to some people today. That's our attitude about the cross. It's nonsense. They can't believe that someone would go and die on a cross. And because He died on that cross, that we can be saved through that death that He died on that cross. But that's exactly what Paul was teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said that I'm preaching Christ, and I'm preaching Christ crucified. He preached a crucified Jesus. How much do you really appreciate the cross of Jesus? Do you appreciate Jesus enough that you believe in Him with all your heart? Do you appreciate that Jesus enough that you'd be willing to turn from sin in your life, sin that hurts Him, sin that hurts His heart? And would you, as a penitent, confessing believer, let some servant of God baptize you for the remission of your sins? Oh, I'd urge you to do that, because let's have the right attitude about it. Let's have the attitude that Samuel had: speak, Lord, your servant is listening, your servant heareth. I want to thank you for watching today. And I want to encourage you to call for the free Bible course right now. Pick up the telephone. Visit the Church of Christ in your communities. And this is my personal invitation to you. And right now, until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.